Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to introduce you the four exciting and interesting personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back Wendy Richard, Peter Jones, Paul Merton and Richard Murdoch. Will you please welcome all four of them? The creator of the game, Ian Messiter, usually sits beside me to keep a score and blow his whistle when the 60 seconds are up. But unfortunately, he can't be with us this week. So I have the pleasure of sitting beside me today, our producer's lovely secretary, Anne Ling, who has done this job with tremendous efficiency in the past. And once more, I am going to ask these four exciting personalities if they can speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation or repetition or deviating from the subject on the card. And let us begin the show this week with Peter Jones. Peter, the subject, garden worms. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
If you fry them in butter with a hint of garlic, they can be very nourishing. I learned that on television in a survival program. But they make very poor pets, worms. They don't respond to affection or even...
Paul Merton has challenged.
Well, I'm not surprised they don't respond to affection if you fry them up with a touch of garlic and some butter. It's not the sort of thing to endear yourself with a garden worm, is it, really?
No.
Well, what is your challenge, Paul?
Deviation.
Oh, no, I don't think he was deviating. He did certainly pause there. He put a couple of errs in. But no, I don't think he was deviating. He was keeping on the subject of garden worms, which is a very broad subject anyway. So, Peter, you get a point for an incorrect challenge, and you keep the subject, and you continue with 44 seconds left, starting now.
And if you fail to make a friend of your garden worm, you can use it as bait for fishing. You stick a pin through it, which is rather unpleasant, I suppose, for the worm, and even for the person doing it. But I believe fish are quite fond of them. Now, what else is there about garden worms? If cut in half, they'll sort of go on functioning as twins. And there's not much else I know about them, really. I'm coming to the end of this work. I did have a pet.
Paul Merton challenged again.
Hesitation.
15 seconds left. Garden worms, Paul, starting now.
Garden worms can be found in many different gardens. For example, the gardens of Buckinghamshire.
Wendy Richard
has... gardens twice?
Yes. Yeah.
Repetition.
The repetition of gardens, because you can complete the word on the card, which is garden worms, and you said gardens twice. So, well, listen, Wendy, we're nice to hear from you. You have the subject of garden worms, and 9 seconds are left, starting now.
I haven't got any worms in my garden. I wish I had, because I believe they're very good for the soil, because they aerate it, don't they, as they go through it. Actually, I haven't even...
Well, when the whistle is blown, it tells us that 60 seconds are up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gets an extra point. On this occasion, it was Wendy Richard. Wendy, you have a point for that, and you're now in the lead at the end of the first round, and we would like you to take the second round, which follows this theme. We've got garden gnomes. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
I don't have any garden gnomes. In actual fact, I don't have a garden. I have a patio on which...
Paul Merton challenge.
Well, deviation, because you had a garden in the last round and now you don't.
Ah, but if I hadn't have come to the end of my minute, I would have said that. I'm continuing on with me gnomes so from the worms.
But the serial started off with a lie because you said you had a garden.
It wasn't a lie. If I'd have had more seconds, I would have told them I haven't got a garden.
But you said you had a garden.
Yes, but she blew the whistle, didn't she? I didn't say that.
Property developers moved in the last minute.
I think I'll go home now. No, that's
right. You were, Wendy, you were whinging on about not having worms.
Right.
And then you continued whinging by saying you didn't have any gnomes. And people were beginning to look quite upset about it.
Oh, all right, then.
But they did enjoy the banter that followed as a result of all that. So, thing is, Paul, shut up, Richard. What do you keep buzzing for?
I spotted something.
Oh, yes,
what have you... repeated several words, have.
You're a bit late, Richard. We've got four...
Well, you didn't give me a chance to get in. You've been talking a lot of rubbish.
Yeah. I have... hadn't opened my mouth. Everybody else was arguing.
All right, I'll resign.
Give Richard Murdoch a bonus point for the halves. Because we haven't heard from him yet, so Richard's got a bonus. Paul, can I say that it doesn't matter what you say within a round, if you challenge on the basis of what is said in this particular round. So if she has contradicted herself in this round, then that would be deviation. So, Wendy, you keep the subject, you have another point, and it's garden gnomes, and there are 54 seconds left, starting now.
I don't have a garden gnome, but I have a duck.
Richard Stunt.
She said have twice.
Yes, I know she did. Yes, so, a very literate man, Richard Murdoch, he watches for the small words, and he's got in there cleverly, and you've got 50 seconds, Richard, to tell us something about garden gnomes starting now.
Well, I don't have any gnomes in my garden. If I did have, I know what I... Oh, I'm a newcomer, aren't I? Yes.
So, Wendy, you got in there. I know what the challenge is, but I think the audience should know, so we know we've got it correct.
He said have twice.
He said have twice, right. Another point to Wendy.
The attitude, you see.
And another point to Wendy and the subject. 45 seconds are left, starting now.
I don't have any garden gnomes, but I had...
Paul Merton.
Do you realise we've been talking about garden gnomes for 5 minutes? And we don't know whether she's got any or not.
Wendy, you've got another point. And the subject back of garden gnomes, we're fascinated to know what you're going to say now. 35 seconds left, starting now.
I've got a concrete duck, or at least I used to, because it fell over last winter on its feet and broke its head off.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Concrete ducks are not on the card.
No.
Well, why is she talking about them?
Because I haven't got a garden gnome. So that is deviation, yes.
Deviation, yes.
I've got a duck.
Yeah, but you established right off that you were talking about concrete ducks.
Right.
And concrete ducks is not on the card. Peter has a correct challenge. He has 27 seconds. Garden gnomes starting now.
Garden gnomes are usually made of plaster, and they're very garishly painted in dreadful colours and crude faces they usually have.
Richard Murdoch challenge.
Well, there was an ur in there.
It was, yes. So, Richard, you have the subject of garden gnomes. Everybody's spoken on it now. And I hope it'll end sometime. But the 17 seconds left, starting now.
If I had one, I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd dig a big hole and I'd place it at the bottom of the hole. And then
Wendy, Richard challenged. Because, Wendy?
He said hole twice.
He did say hole twice. Yes. Wendy, you have garden gnomes back again for the 17th time. And there are 9 seconds left to hear from you. And Paul Merton's challenge.
I just wanted to come in before she said, yeah, I have no garden gnome.
A bonus point for Paul, because we like the challenge. Wendy still has the subject. 9 seconds left. Garden gnomes, Wendy, starting now.
I would love to have a garden gnome. I think they are most attractive.
Paul Merton's challenge.
Repetition of have.
I would love to have a garden gnome. Yes, you tried to get round it. Paul Merton, you've got in for the seventh time on garden gnomes with 5 seconds to go, starting now.
My garden gnome is a very interesting little fellow indeed. His hobby...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, so he gained that extra point. And Richard, your turn to begin. The subject is coincidences. Very difficult to say, actually, Richard.
Yes.
So I don't know how we're all going to do on this one, but there's just a minute in which to talk about it, starting now.
Well, I did have one sort of a coincidence. 2 years ago, I was at Littlehampton in Sussex, and I was on the beach, and I had a wristwatch, and the strap broke, and it fell into the sand and got buried. Now, I rummaged about for about half an hour, but could I locate that timepiece? No, so I gave it up. Well, last summer, I happened to be in the same location, and I was with a friend who had a dog, and this dog started...
Wendy, yes, Richard.
Yes, I should have said that.
Yes, and everyone was dying to hear what the dog found. Well, if we don't, I'll ask you at the end, because to play the game, Wendy had a correct challenge, takes over the subject of coincidences, and there are 25 seconds left, starting now.
I was at a charity ball a couple of years ago when, by some dreadful coincidence, two ladies turned up wearing the same frock.
Paul Merton challenged.
Were they wearing the same frock or identical frocks?
Excuse me, if if he's going to nitpick, I'm going home.
I know he was. I think that was a very good challenge. It's a lovely idea, isn't it?
Because if it's the same frock, that's not a coincidence.
I'm not
going to
tell you
friends.
It's a secret.
It was such a good challenge, this picture of these both ladies in the same frock. I think that maybe the fair thing is to give Paul a bonus point for his lovely challenge, but leave the subject with Wendy.
I don't want it. Let him talk.
Gets the point and the subject.
And
16 seconds, Paul, on coincidences starting now.
I was walking through Littlehampton with a friend of mine who had a little dog, and this pet started burying in the sand. And what it was burying was two ladies.
He said buried twice.
Yes, he did indeed.
Yes.
So you got the subject back, and you've got 8 seconds to finish your story, Richard, starting now.
Well, we took no notice of this dog, but eventually it came up to us, and what do you think it had in its mouth? A copy of the Radio Times.
That may not
Paul
be
Merton,
real...
No, Paul Merton did actually challenge before the whistle.
No, no, no.
That may not be an actual coincidence, but it's the nearest I can get to having one.
It's a good thing it came after the whistle, wasn't it? Yes. So anyway, you get a point for speaking as the whistle went, and... Let me give you the score at the end of the round. Yes, well, Wendy's still in the lead, one ahead of Paul Merton. Richard's catching up on them, and then comes Peter Jones. And whose turn is to begin? Paul Merton. The subject, Paul, is choke. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
It's a method of strangulation. This is how Dr. Crippen got rid of his wife. When he got a bit fed up of her, he decided to choke her. At the trial, they said to Dr. Crippen, why did...
And Wendy, which
Dr. challenge? Dr. Crippen twice.
Yes, Crippen can't come in twice, but choke can.
So quite incorrect. Wendy... He didn't strangle his wife. He poisoned her.
I was about to say that. That's how I was going to start off my next bit, Peter.
Mm.
Tough...
It might be tough on Wendy, but rather foolish of you, Peter, because if you challenged for that, you could have had it on deviation. Wendy, you have the subject, which is choke, and there are 49 seconds left, starting now.
I don't drive, but I do believe a choke is a very important part of the motor car. You have to pull it out to start the engine in the cold weather, or indeed, if you have a vehicle... What?
She said I drive... Too many haves. You did actually say have.
All right,
have,
as yes. It's you, Richard. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he let you go on the...
It's the
only thing I can ever get in at.
Well, he'd let you go on the second half, but he had you on the third one, Wendy. So we give it to him for repetition. 38 seconds with you, Richard Murdoch, on choke, starting now.
Oh, choke. Yes, the thing you have in a motor car, and you pull it out, and it helps you to start the car. It's got nothing to do with strangulation or anything to do with the throat. It is something to do with an...
and yes. Wendy, Richard challenged. Wendy,
well,
your
there were several to do withs.
Yes, to do withs.
Yes.
The subject is still choke, and the 24 seconds left, starting now.
Unless one has a vehicle, as in the one we own, because it will never start, well, very rarely anyway, and this choke seems to be out more often than it's in. And that's all I know, really, about chokes as far as motor vehicles are concerned.
And Peter Jones, a challenge?
Deviation.
Why?
Well, she said that's as much as she knows. We can't go on. She's come to a halt.
And she did repeat motor car, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Well done, Peter. You have another point and 7 seconds on choke starting now.
Artichoke is one of my favourite vegetables because if you eat only the edible part and you don't get involved with the choke...
Well, Peter was speaking then. Peter Jones, when the whistle went, gained that extra point. He takes the next subject, so here's a chance for you. Subject, Peter, tipping. Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
It's something that I don't really approve of, and I'd prefer it if there wasn't any. But in this class-ridden society, I suppose it will continue to be indulged in.
Richard Murdoch has challenged.
One or two errs.
There was more than one err. Yes, Richard, you have the subject of tipping, and there are... 49 seconds left, starting now.
It's a very nice word, tipping. It rhymes with ripping, and it also rhymes with... No, yes.
Wendy Richard challenged.
I'm being awfully silly, aren't I?
Not realise it. People don't realise how difficult it is to play this game. I think anybody who thinks it's easy should practice at home sometime.
It's practically impossible.
Exactly. Especially when you've got three bright, intelligent people breathing down your neck and wishing to spot your errors. 43 seconds are left with you, Wendy, on tipping, starting now.
Tipping is very much expected by people today. I personally always tip taxi drivers well because I'm terrified if they haven't been given sufficient, they'll shout at me down the street and I get very easily upset. I do object to tipping in some restaurants when the service hasn't been that good, and I do think it should be left up to the individual. If you wish to give big tippings or small tippings, it should be entirely up to one.
Paul Merton has challenged.
Deviation, big tips or small tips.
And the word on the card is tipping, so it's a repetition of tippings. So, Paul, would you tell us something about tipping in 16 seconds, starting now?
Tipping is a little village just outside Yorkshire. There's little tipping and big tipping. Big tipping, oh, no.
Richard.
Man, too big.
Yes, too big, yes. So, Richard, you're in on the subject of tipping with 10 seconds left, starting now.
Well, a man took a taxi to the theatre and he gave the driver a penny.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I agree with that one, Peter. So you're in on tipping, and there are 5 seconds left, starting now.
I've tipped most of my life, but I've never actually received a tip. Actors don't get any. If you stand outside the theatre saying to the people...
Right, so Peter Jones, speaking as the whistle went, got the extra point then, and he has moved forward rapidly, but he's still in fourth place. But he's only just behind Richard Murdoch, who... No, just behind Paul Merton now, who's one behind Richard Murdoch, and he is two behind Wendy Richard, who is still in the lead, and she begins the next round. Wendy, Prince Albert, will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
I don't know a great deal about Prince Albert. Well, not Prince Albert the person. I've known a few pubs called Prince Albert. They are usually quite jolly places where one can enjoy a game of darts or shove halfpenny and various entertainments before those dreadful video games were introduced and jukeboxes and that the like of that. But if one is wanting to talk about Prince Albert, who was married to Queen Victoria, who gave her such a large family, and they named a monument.
Peter Jones has challenged.
There was an un there.
There was an un,
there
yes.
Was.
She thought about the large family and she ummed. Right. Prince Albert is with you now, Peter Jones, and there are 28 seconds left starting now.
I think he was a really splendid man. He introduced a Christmas tree.
Richard Murdoch...
There were two he's. He. He was a splendid man, and he did something else.
I think that's a mean challenge, Richard.
Well,
I really do. I mean, it's really, really tough. No. I mean, I think if there were three he's, you might, but two he's, we are inclined to let the he's and the it's and the I's go.
Yes.
24 seconds are left for you, Peter. We're having gained another point on Prince Albert, starting now.
And I believe he instigated...
Paul Merton challenged.
Three he's.
Well, I did say if there were three, I would probably have to do it. Paul, I've got to abide by my word. Three he's, right. But do watch it. Not too many he's, please, for challenges. 22 seconds with you, Paul Merton. Prince Albert, starting now.
There is a Prince Albert pub near to where I live. It's a place...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yeah, these he's are inhibiting them all. You can see that. Peter, you have the Prince Albert again, and 17 seconds, starting now.
Prince Albert instigated, I believe, the Crystal Palace at the Great Exhibition, and a great triumph for British art.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of great.
Yeah, great triumph in the Great Exhibition,
oh,
Peter.
Yes.
Sorry. Prince Albert's back with you, Paul. 11 seconds, starting now.
In the corner, there is a very old man who claims to remember the original prince when the pub was opened in 18...
Wendy Richard
he
challenge.
He said pub twice.
Yes, he did say pub twice. So, Wendy, you got in again on Prince Albert, and you've got only 3 seconds left, starting now.
Prince Albert, I believe, was one of the most...
score at the end of that round. Wendy Richard is still in the lead on 12 points. But following her is now Peter Jones in second place. He's moved rapidly forward and just 1 point behind equal are Paul Merton and Richard Murdoch. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, holiday insurance. Will you tell us something about that vexed subject in this game, starting now?
It seems to be advisable that if you go on holiday, you must take insurance in case something drastic happens while you're abroad. For example, you could suffer from food poisoning or perhaps drown. And if you drowned, then you would want to get your money back as soon as possible. You would have to go to your nearest travel agent and you would say, look, I'm sorry, I died in water while I was on holiday and I would like a full and complete refund. And travel operatives in this kind of situation are often very keen to refund the money, because the last thing they want is an unhappy dead customer. Now, I remember once going on holiday to Scarborough, and it was in the middle of the cyclone season, which hits that particular resort every year between the months of March and May. And I was caught up in the epicentre of this particular wind force and was carried some 5,000 miles all the way to Kansas City, where I happened to meet Robert Redford, who at that time was making a remake of the film Butch Cassidy.
Well, a well-deserved round of applause for his flights of fantasy, which he could have been had for deviation, I'm sure, but they were so impressed with it, and he kept going without hesitation or repetition. And anybody who does that for a full second not only gets a point for speaking as the whistle goes, but a bonus point for not being interrupted. So there's 2 points there to Paul Merton. And he's now equal in the lead with Wendy Richard. And Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject, takeaways, starting now.
Well, they've done quite a lot for housewives who are rather tired of cooking, and they haven't done much for British cookery, I don't think, because the standard in the takeaways is not as high as can be attained at home with a simple cookery book and the modest equipment. I've made a few attempts myself to improve on takeaway food that I've bought, and you can, if you buy a normal pizza, you can put extra cheese on it and split a few olives and drop them over it.
Wendy Richard, Charlotte. What's that?
I think there was a slight...
Yes, I thought that something had gone wrong with
hesitation.
The buzzers.
A slight hesitation. Yeah, he was hesitating while he dropped the olives. So, Wendy, I give you the challenge. The subject is takeaways, and you have 27 seconds left starting now.
When I first moved into my present home, I had no kitchen. There was just an empty room without cooker, fridge, nothing. Just
or garden or no.
So I had to live on takeaways for 6 months. I'm not knocking takeaways because I do admit to enjoy...
No doubt, Wendy, there I implored the intensity with which you kept going for the last few seconds to make sure that you got that extra point for speaking. As the whistle went on takeaways, because you have increased your lead, you're now 2 ahead of Paul Merton. And we have 1 round to go, and it is your turn to begin. So let's see what happens in the last round. Wendy, mud wrestling. A good subject. I don't know whether you have any personal experience of it, but either way, would you talk about mud wrestling starting now?
I know very little on the subject of mud wrestling. In fact, I have no knowledge of it whatsoever. But in the past, I have seen pictures of people participating in mud wrestling. It looks quite revolting to me. And I cannot understand why people want to get...
Richard Murdoch challenge.
I think there was another people.
Yes, there was another people. Yes. Richard, you have a point, of course, and you have the subject now of mud wrestling, and 43 seconds left, starting now.
Well, like Wendy, I have never seen any mud wrestling. The one thing that is most fond of it is...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
There seemed to be a stumble there.
Yes, because I think he realised Wendy said she had seen it, but she hadn't participated, so it was deviation as well, but the stumble, I agree with you. Peter, you have the subject of mud wrestling with a correct challenge for hesitation, and there are 38 seconds, starting now.
It can't be compared to wrestling on a hearth rug in front of an open fire. No, mud, of course, is...
I'm sorry, Paul Merton challenged you.
Oh, I think it can be... can be compared, yes.
It can be compared.
Yes, in one you've got a lot of mud, and the other one you haven't.
So it's deviation. That's a very interesting challenge. Yes, it can be compared, so...
No, you can't. That's not a comparison.
You can compare it and then say there is no comparison.
Well, that's what I said.
But you said you couldn't compare.
We're getting into the semantics of language now, and I don't prepare to be involved.
No,
I tell you what I will do. As we're getting close to the end, and it's neck and neck who's going to win, I will put you to the superior judgment and wisdom of our audience. If you agree with Paul... yes. If you agree with Paul's challenge, which is technically correct, but also Peter was colloquially correct, let you be the judge. If you agree with Paul, would you cheer for Paul? And if you disagree, will you boo for Peter? So will you all do it together now? Peter, you have it. They're colloqually on your side.
Oh, well,
you get a
good
point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject of mud wrestling. 32 seconds left, starting now.
Mud is a comparatively cheap product, and that's why the promoters of these contests, which Wendy saw photographs of, use it. Because if it were something else, like sugar or treacle, which might be more entertaining in many ways, particularly for the people participating, because they'd be able to get nourishment as they went on and be able to sustain themselves. But as it is, mud, which they get, I believe, from the Nile, the more expensive contests are financed.
Paul, challenge, what is it?
Well, first of all, we use mud because it's very cheap, and then we import it in from the Nile for the more expensive mud contests.
Yeah,
that's so right.
So what is your challenge, Paul?
Well, deviation.
He paused with an seven times, I counted it. But nobody challenged him for that, but I don't think he was deviating.
All right.
So he gets another point, and... And there are, with Peter, a half a second left on mud wrestling, starting now.
It's very sticky.
So, we have no more time to play Just a Minute. Let me give you the final score. Well, Richard Murdoch, who finished in fourth place, but he's only 2 points behind Paul Merton and Peter Jones, who are equal in second place, but only 2 points ahead, and so we judge her to be the winner for this week, Wendy Richard. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again at the same time when we take to the air and we play this delightful game. It only remains for me to say, on behalf of Anne Ling, who's deputised for Ian Messiter, who created the game, and also our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you very much for listening, and we hope that you'll be with us next time we're all on the air. Until then, goodbye from us all. Thank you.